There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Friday. Let me give you the phone number because we need to talk this hour. 343-0106. 343-0106. We'll kind of run through a little bit of what we played in that press conference last hour with Governor Ivey and head of the Alabama Department of Public Health talking about the shutdown. What is shut down in the state? Versus what they, I can't tell you what is not because they said if you're not on the list, you're not shut down. But I think there's some gray area in that. So I want to talk about that with you at 343-0106. And yeah, here's this. Okay, this email comes in. Congress have included, probably has included, but Congress have included a huge tax break for real estate investors in the coronavirus stimulus package. The provision, which was buried deep in the bill, allows for investors to deduct losses in real estate investments to minimize taxes on profits from other investments. The estimated cost of the tax break is $170 billion. And to this person, you know, this is interesting. I'll get to something on Twitter in a second. I don't like that either. You know, somebody from the left will email that to me like, aha, I got you. You'll like that. I don't like that either. I think there shouldn't have been anything in the bill that wasn't related specifically. And you can get in the congressman brought it up. You could get, I think it would be a fair debate about how much you increased unemployment. I think that's a fair debate because that absolutely deals with people that don't have jobs through no fault of their own in this. But be it the Kennedy Center, or this tax deduction for real estate, or what was discussed that Pelosi was trying to put in the... I don't have... It's a lucky thing, I guess, the way I was... way I'm wired. I'm not locked into something. Like, I don't feel like I have to defend... If the Republicans did something junky in there, like this person said, if that's true, then shame on them. Give me the name of the person that put that in. Same we got Leahy's name. Teflon all that stuff because I don't carry any you know, there's no R or D or anything behind my name, right? I'm just a guy, right? That, and I think there's a lot more people like me that you might be conservative, but if somebody who is got an R behind their names does something stupid, well, it's stupid. It's like this. Well, by the way, yeah, just for a second, over on Twitter, because I'm sure they're in a... this person doesn't actually listen. Maybe they stream the station, but I'm sure they're in some kind of troll farm somewhere on Twitter. It was very fun. And if you're on Twitter, if you follow us at FM Talk 106.5, this troll did the wrong thing and started to go through and search my friends and family on Twitter and started like attacking them. And I'm pretty chill until that point. That I get unchill. I warm up a little bit. But this person is pretending to be the background says they're a farmer in Op, Alabama, right? And then went in to say, you know, all these things about President Trump. And I said, well, first of all, I guess you don't know I'm not his press secretary, but then they kept up and kept up. So my ag people listen to the show. Right now in the conversation, after he told me he took him about 8 hours when I asked him what he farmed to figure it out. And he said soybeans. So I just asked him when he plants and what schedule soybeans he plants. It's been real quiet from the guy on there. So it's because he's a bit... don't, you know, Twitter, if you just assume everything on social media is BS and then make them prove, make it a Napoleonic code. Don't make it the American system where you're innocent till proven guilty. On social media, assume that, like Napoleonic code, they're guilty until they can prove themselves innocent. Just assume that. And you, life will work out a lot better. All right. So we'll get some of your texts and calls here. And Eric says Bass Pro Shops packed full parking lot. Is that odd? I don't know. Some questions on the small business loan. I think as a small business person, I think what made me happy about what the congressman was talking about is we don't know all these things, but knock on wood. Hold on. Knock on wood that our bankers will, and we'll be able to go in there and go in there and find out how to navigate this thing. I think one of the really great things, though, is that we'll be able to go in, get this loan, and keep people employed, keep them on the payroll, which will be huge for the turnaround of the economy. It'll let people sleep better at night, employees and business owners out there. I think it's going to be a big, big deal. And hopefully our next unemployment numbers, which, 3.1 million yesterday came out, that was horrible. Hopefully it'll do something to turn that around. And then hopefully give, if people have cash flow coming in, it's probably easier for them to shelter at home and to quarantine themselves and conduct social distancing. I think those things are going to be easier. If you didn't catch it last hour, the state part of this story we've talked about as Governor Kay Ivey announcing an updated state of emergency order related to coronavirus. Businesses affected by the announcement fall into four, what Yellowhammer News calls broad categories. I probably can agree there. Entertainment venues, athletic facilities and activities, non-essential close contact service establishments, and non-essential retail stores. Places like grocery stores, takeout delivery restaurants, and pharmacies will remain open. The order is effective as of 5 o'clock tomorrow, 5 p.m. tomorrow, and extends to April 17th, subject to alteration or extension by the governor. Okay, so they go on to say here that the governor reiterated she does not believe a statewide shelter-in-place order is warranted at this time. She encourages localities to go further than her state of emergency order as needed on a case-by-case basis. So, in other words, Birmingham could have tighter rules, Mobile, anywhere could have tighter rules than the state. The order details that non-work-related gatherings of 10 or more are banned statewide. So, 9 of you is fine, 10 isn't. Remember, before it was 25 people in one place. Now it is 10 or more banned non-work-related gatherings, which means, I guess, job sites, y'all can still work on a job site. You work in a factory, work somewhere. If it's work, you can have 10 or more people. The penalties for breaking the public health order are $500 fine per infraction and a misdemeanor charge. Now, what stays open? Only a couple things addressed specifically in there. Liquor stores and gun stores will remain open. And the crowd goes wild. I hear the cheers. All right. Those are open. A lot of things are not. We'll go through this list here some in just a little bit. But it leads me to question. One of them said department stores. Okay. Department stores are closed. And shoe stores and jewelry stores and furniture stores. And they specifically named those were closed. But a department store, let's look at that. How do we figure that out? If you go with a department store, let's look at one of the big box stores, because gun stores are open, okay? How much of a footprint, because this is actually discussed, I think, when it comes to some liquor sales. I think we talked about it during the big crawfish boiling controversy, too. What makes you a bar or a restaurant? You got bars and grills. What percentage? And I wonder if that is true in the discussion of gun stores staying open. But if you're a place that has, guns there, has a gun department, but you have 90% of the rest of the square footage is selling whatever, because it said sporting goods stores are closed, but what if they also sell guns? I mean, I ask these questions because the people bring this up, and the government makes a rule, and then immediately the market asks a second, third, and fourth question here on it, and that's, I think, what I'm doing. All right, grab a call or two right now. Let's see. Jim is in in Malbus, and up first. Hey, Jim.
Hey, did the governor say I have a reason now to keep my mother-in-law out of the house? I'm only limited to 10 people.
I think if she is number 10, Jim, you're doing it for your state.
Okay, she has to sleep out in the garage. Great, yeah. Great. Good to know. Hey, listen, I was listening to your comment about money situation, the loans and all. I guess you've noticed, or do you know that most banks have the lobbies closed now and that you'll have to probably set an appointment, an appointment to get in there to make this loan?
That's right. We were talking about that here in the office, I think, yesterday or the day before. And if you have a banker already, you have their number, you know, their phone number probably. If you don't, you probably go over there. But they are doing it by appointment for that reason. And, you know, Jim, there's probably going to be a crush of people showing up. I mean, business owners. Yes, and they probably have to figure out how to get us all on a schedule.
And a shout out to all the people that work in the banks, too, that are out there keeping their hands clean and doing all their transactions for those people that are also essential to the process. Here, so
yeah, no, absolutely.
Shout out. All right, thank you.
Well done, Jim, because it's not every day we get a shout out for the folks working, but they're frontline people at the banks. Absolutely. People handing, doing banking there from your vehicle, people that hand you food to your vehicle. Of course, I have to say, the top of the folks are in public safety and the medical field. Speaking of which, saw a note here. Y'all, by the way, y'all have done great work. I continue to be like amazed and so proud of this radio station's audience and all of us that listen. That already the donations of N95 masks have been noticed in a big way at USA Children's and Women's Hospitals. We're getting word back that it's y'all doing it, which is awesome. Let's keep it going. Once again, these are like, maybe you have those masks, you did fiberglass work or sanding or whatever. Maybe you use them to work in the yard when it's dusty. I don't know. But you buy those, and they come in like a blister pack sometimes in three or sometimes in a bigger sleeve if you buy a bunch of them. Just check their N95 or higher. So N95 is good, but I think N99 is also good. But you want it to have 95 or higher in the number. And if you'll, we've got that contact info here. You can reach out to us or just Google USA Children's and Women's Hospital. You know what a great facility, what a blessing they are on our community. That's who's taking these masks. They need them for their folks there, and it's our way to help out. And I think there's medical facilities all over town that would take them as well. We're just specifically talking about Children's and Women's Hospital and helping those folks out. So if you've got some of those, they're out there. They're next to the PVC pipe cement and the coping saw in that drawer there in your shop. Get those masks out. If they're new, you know, they're enclosed in a package, make that donation. Just Google USA Children's and Women's Hospital. I really appreciate what y'all are doing. I know they appreciate it big time. And it's just one small way to give back to those folks on the front line of this fight against the coronavirus. So thank y'all. All right, coming right back. Get all choked up. Coming right back. I'll get some a few more calls here and text. And then later on in the hour, talking about how the American innovative spirit is tackling the fight against coronavirus. Folks right here in town at Caligaz Printing have done something pretty amazing, how they retooled what they're doing in their shop to help out folks in the medical field. We'll talk to them coming up in just about 15 minutes.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, so a Gamecock girl says on the text line, I hate to tell Governor Ivey this, but my hair salon is an essential service. So see what I'm saying? It's open for interpretation. So I said on Twitter earlier, if we go another 3 weeks, if we go, because the haircut places, had some of them had shut down, some of them stayed open, and I already was like long for a haircut because I have to get one like monthly. So if I go another 3 weeks, I'm going to look something like the love child of Jerry Garcia from The Grateful Dead and Bob Ross, the painter there. That's kind of the look. My hair gets big. It's more than long. It gets big. So I have that and the beard. I will look like y'all will probably, and it'll be good actually for social distancing because people will see me coming and they will step to the other side of the street because I look like somebody that would, you know, be a danger. So these are the prices we pay for dealing with what we're dealing with in the state. All right, Thomas is in Theodore, and up next. Hey, Thomas.
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
I'm making it, man. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm making it. You know, I'm 70 years old, and there's a sign out front, do not leave your house. And, you know, I don't know what the hell that's all about, but I'm sitting here. I usually come out four times a year. you know, I come out a little bit more than that dog that says the weather, and I I come out four times a year, the doctor appointments. Other than that, I stay here at Fort Courage.
Yeah, so you're sheltered in place at Fort Courage.
Yeah, but stay here. People bring me the stuff I need, you know. And I just wanted to say about four or five months ago, my group, you know, I had the vegetable club there, and we had to disband. But I have the Mobile Regional Property Owners Association, and we decided that you should be you created this platform, which I prayed for years as an activist when we wanted to incarcerate Mayor Dow for you know, spending our money wrongly. And anyhow, we think you should be a Mobilian of the Year. And so I'm going to pursue this thing, and anybody that knows anything about it, because I'm so far away from those people as you can get, and I don't know where they decide this, but I'd like people to start working on this. I think you deserve it, and I think you're an asset to our community, something we've never had before. And I really shout out to Bradley Byrne, you know, after the election and all, to come back and to talk to us and be interested and involved in the political system. I think that's great. That shows moxie.
There you go. Thomas, thank you for the kind words. I appreciate that. I have a feeling that I would definitely get I'd be blackballed in that process. We wouldn't want somebody like me in those runnings. Come on, man. But thank you. Thank you. You're kind. Okay, so a couple questions here. I'm going to do my best here. I'm not, you know, a couple more questions about the SBA process. What I'm doing is telling you what I've gleaned from, well, three interviews with the congressman, an interview yesterday that ran on the station with a banker, and one other interview sticking with it. So once again, I'm not saying I'm your loan specialist here, but I'm a concerned party. I'm like so many folks that are small business folks. All right, so you go to your bank, and yeah, like Jim said earlier, you're going to have to make an appointment. You go to the bank. If you already have a banker for your small business, you're good. You have the name, you have the contact. If not, you get the banker. You go there, and then they, as the congressman just said at the end of last hour, they should know how to do this. The loan, as I understand it, the loan in total, I think, was a 4% loan and long-term. Maybe we can Google, see how long that term is. But the key here to the whole thing is the forgiveness of what is used to pay wages, salary. It's about everything. I wonder what's accepted here. Maybe capital improvement. But the money, so you get the loan. Let's say, you know, we get $100 for our loan here, because we'll do easy math. That's a communications major, stayed away from the math building. So we do the loan of $100, and out of that, $90 are used to pay wages, salaries, utilities, rent. The one thing that stood out to me too, the premiums that we pay as business owners for the health insurance. I think I remember hearing debt service on debts that were before that were taken on before February 15th, I think. So there's, and I can't wait to get a list of this in front of me where it's in print from all the talking I've done, but I'd love to have it in print. But those things generally, those would be 100% forgiven in the loan. So let's say we use $90. So we, in this scenario, we would be paying 4% interest on $10. That's what it's about. So, oh, by the way, Shane on the text line, you see that, Dalton? Shane, I don't know if you go on Twitter. I was on that. Shane said, get a Flobee. Ha ha. I said that a while ago. Shane, our brains are in the same place. I said, you know who is laughing last? The families that held on to their Flobee. Remember the Flobee haircut thing? They've got them stashed away in some kind of linen closet somewhere in the house. They're breaking those things out now, saying, well, they shut down the haircut place. Don't worry. Bomb's going to get on your hair here with the Flobee. Everything will be just fine. Okay, Donald, do you want a competition? Okay, maybe we'll do that. I'll take the picture. Dalton is in on this, too, because he said, Dalton, he said you're 2 months late for a haircut anyway. Donald said, let's have a before and after contest for the hair. Okay, maybe we'll start that. Maybe we'll start that. At Gamecock Girl, I don't think we'll be as amused with this contest as the dudes are. But we're, let's go. Ben says the same thing. Okay, Ben says, let's grow our hair and beards out to beat coronavirus. What do y'all say? I'm in. The beard thing, though, I like to keep it. You talking about letting them go like full Duck Commander, Ben? Okay, so I guess that's the... All right, so we're gonna be growing our hair to defeat coronavirus. I like it. We'll work on that. But listen, there, it looks like at least for the next 3 weeks, unless you have some kind of clandestine haircut deal, or you're lucky enough to have a Flobee in the stash there in the house, your hair's going to keep growing. And if you'll go through, and Dalton, if we don't have it up on the Facebook page yet, I got it on the Twitter feed, if we'll link to that, what Governor Ivey put out, and it's got the actual pages of the, is it up? Okay, of course it's up. You're like light years ahead of me. It's already up on our Facebook page. If you don't go to Facebook, don't go to Twitter, go to Facebook, and you'll see the link there from Governor Ivey. It lays out in detail the things they specifically closed. Of course, looking through it, it'll probably have you ask a lot of questions like it did me. I was wondering, you look at it, they say gun shops are open, but sporting goods stores are not. I mean, that's just one that I looked at. I don't know which one is which, right? I mean, if you have there's some that are just full gun shops. We get that. But then how many places that have guns also have a whole bunch of other stuff on the, I don't know how they decide that. And grocery stores are open, but I have a question. If they say we're not supposed to be in a non-work environment, right? It said a non-work environment, you can't have more than 10 people in any one place. What does that do to a grocery store? This, I mean, the second they open the door, they would be over that. So I don't. Grocery stores are open, so don't panic there. Grocery stores are open. Pharmacies are open. I just don't know how they, if they're exempted from the 10 or more people, I'm not exactly sure. But we're going to work our way through this. And when we come back, too, we're going to talk about some real American innovation going on right here at home. And the folks from Caligaz join us next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Check in with our buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins. I may not say fine jewelry, Angelo. You see what I'm doing there?
They're very subtle there. I like that. Yeah, so Mobile Bay Coins is open today. Planning on being open tomorrow, 9 to 2. Maybe 9 to 1 if the weather's really nice.
Because
y'all
are open
time right now. I think that's about all I can say, right?
Yeah, I mean, because we went through what the what was rolled out by the governor and the state health director. Hey, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, you and I were talking during the news break the same way I am on the text line. There's a lot of things that have happened today, happened this week. I don't know the exact answer for it. I'm working on getting the answers, but they left that thing pretty open that the state put out today.
They really did. So on one hand, we like to consider Mobile Bay Coins a type of financial institution in a way. We give people money for their gold and silver jewelry, their sterling silver flatware, maybe even buy some gold and silver bullion from them. We're helping them convert precious metals into ready cash they can go spend for groceries or medications or whatever they need. And so from that perspective, we like to believe that we are a critical business in a financial institution type mindset, but we've got to figure out from the state, what is it they're thinking and who is it that's enforcing these things and where's that list?
I'm trying to work it with you right now. So if people, you are open to today, you are open tomorrow, people want to come in and look at precious metal, I imagine you'll get a busy counter on that.
We're going to be very busy today. Right now we've got almost 1,000 ounces of silver in stock, ready to go out the door. This is not something shipping eventually. It is right here, ready to go. And, you know, moving forward, if people want to come by the shop and they have questions, check out our Facebook page, Mobile Bay Coins on Facebook. Call the shop at 725-1590, and we will let you know what's going on.
Thanks, Angelo.
Have a good one, Sean.
You too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins. And speaking of local business, you know, what we focus on around here at FM Talk 106.5, this name, if you're like me, you grew up here, you know their name, probably been in their shop over the years, and now in the printing world as well, the Caligaz family. It is good to welcome Joe Caligaz onto the show to talk more about what y'all have turned around in the shop here. Joe, thanks for your time. Thanks for what you're doing.
Well, thanks for having me on today. I appreciate it.
Now, this is okay. So I was looking at the story y'all put up on Facebook. Explain, you're making face shields for medical folks?
Yeah, so you're right. We are part of my grandfather is Calagaz Photo Supply. He started that business, and Calagaz Photo is still around and selling cameras. But in 91, I started Calagaz Printing as part of that, and then now it's a separate business that it specializes in commercial printing, and we focus nationally on the restaurant industry. And what we found last week, with all the downturns, obviously everybody noticed it, but all the work orders and everything dried up from a production perspective. And, you know, my sales rep looked at an article, and that article, he saw that there was this shortage of face shields, of medical face shields, and he started walking around his name is Michael Cuesta, and Michael looked around the shop, and he kind of came across some different items, and he cobbled together a very rough prototype, and he then took it to my production manager, who has a wealth of experience in the printing industry. His name is Donnie Webb, and he asked Donnie, I said, well, Donnie, do you think we can make these? And, well, when you step back and don't look at them as a medical face shield, and you look at them as maybe a printed product, well, it actually, he said, yes, we can. So now we had to retool some equipment. We had to buy some special dyes, and we had to do a lot of prototyping and experimentation on how we could produce this. And we didn't want to produce a few hundred of these because the need is significant. I mean, right off the bat, we were given orders for 12,000 pieces.
Phew.
And then after today, the orders keep multiplying because the need is significant.
Now, did you take, when y'all did this and you retooled, you did the prototypes, did you take prototypes to folks over at the hospital and say, does this work, or did they give you an idea of what it's supposed to look like? How do you do that?
Well, since we're not in the medical field, we didn't have any idea how to do that, so we engaged the hospital. And they were very receptive for us coming over, and they gave us what their current face shield looks like. They gave us a couple of pieces for us to tear apart and re-engineer and pattern ours off of that. So on Monday, we did 6 prototypes, and we went around to the hospitals and put those in the hands of both the purchasing and administration side of the hospitals. They took those and showed it to their medical staff, and virtually everybody said the device we came up with filled the need and was able to be used the way they needed to be used.
That's great.
So we then moved beyond the 6 prototypes, and we started making a few hundred face shields, and that was on Tuesday and Wednesday. Yesterday, we had supplies come in for our next 6,000 face shields, and today we've had the remaining balance, so that we'll be able to produce 24,000 face shields in the next, hopefully before the end of next week. And then we are looking to continue that process, which means, you know, as these commitments have come in, it allows me to go out and try to source additional raw materials so that we can ramp up for much greater production.
Is that the issue that maybe going forward, that raw material? Because obviously you've now figured out how to do it. You're doing a good job making them. Is that getting that supply chain? How does that work for you?
Well, it's a lead time issue, and it's an availability issue. So when I started prepping my manufacturer, my supplier on Monday, I had them reach out to their mill, because I bought everything they had in the U.S. to make the shields, which was only 24,000 shields. But we had that all, that's what all was inbound. So after we prototyped it, I committed to buy all that. Now I've reached back out. I prepped them for the fact that, okay, well, if I'm understanding the need correctly, then this number is going to be a drop in the bucket, and we're going to need much, much larger numbers. So they went back to their mill, made arrangements for the next run of the plastic part of it, which is a very time-consuming to produce, is they're going to produce about 200,000 products for 200,000 face shields, hopefully in the next 5 to 7 days.
Holy cow. It's unreal. I mean, you turned this around in how long from when that idea first came up to now?
Late Thursday afternoon, we started die cutting shields in volume and made probably 6,000 shields yesterday afternoon, and the material didn't come in until 3:30.
Y'all got any doubt about the innovative spirit of people in our country? How many people work with you, Joe?
I currently employ about 17 people.
Fantastic. That's y'all right there. That's what it's about. Well, good on you. Thank you for doing what you're doing to help out our people on the front lines of this fight against coronavirus. And I'll be checking back with you from time to time. I know you're busy is probably an understatement, but good for you. And thanks for doing this. And, you know, and as part of our community, helping us out here, but you're helping out medical folks all around the country. And I couldn't be prouder to be in the same city with you, man. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
All right, Joe Caligas checking in with Caligas Printing. That's the kind of stories I'm talking about. That's what we do in this country. Whether it's, the stories we have. I mean, right here, we have our stories right here in Mobile. We've been talked about with Cam yesterday as well. I mean, that the intubation box, the plexiglass thing that's being made right here, that's going to help medical professionals be protected from people that have coronavirus. Same thing as these face shields. Same thing as a program going on right now. I know I got a Facebook message earlier about what's happening here on these from Benjamin about the sewing of the mask as folks here in town, maybe some of them pretty close to my family, doing some work here sewing masks to be able to help out healthcare professionals. We as a country can work together and do this. We've done it before and we'll do it again. It continues to be the American spirit, even if it's 2020, we're still Americans. All right, coming right back to wrap it up, and we'll talk to Ruth Lichtenfeld from Taylor Martino. And remember, we're online, fmtalk1065.com. You can get podcasts of this show, the morning show, any of the 44 hours, I think, a week of live local programming that we produce. Waiting for you online right now. Go to fmtalk1065.com or just check out iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Ruth Lichtenfeld from Taylor Martino back in studio. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thank you for having me.
All right, so I'm gonna dish on a conversation we had earlier, and that was when we talked, about people contacting you, they have an injury, the importance of getting with you early on this, and we'll circle back around to that. But you and I are having a conversation that you get a call, and somebody is calling really for legal advice, although we've talked about the fact that you're a nurse and also a personal injury attorney, which is unique in our area. And sometimes, even if you break away from the law for a second and talk about their health and how they're feeling, because that's a big part of your life too.
Mm-hmm. No, it really is. And so I screen a lot of cases. I talk to a lot of people. I'm privileged to talk to a lot of people to see if we can help them, either me or our firm. But sometimes if I really don't find a basis for a lawsuit, but they have an issue, I try to direct them. I don't give medical advice per se, but I will say, if this were me, I would go see a neurologist for this issue. And I try to direct them to solve their problem.
Mm-hmm.
They don't always have a legal problem, but they always have a problem. And so if it's a medical problem, then I try to direct them to a source where they could, get some help for it, even if it's not through litigation.
That's a rare phone call we can make to have that kind of wisdom on both sides. And I guess even in the case you go, my gosh, that person does have a case, but let's go ahead and get this treated while y'all are doing
right,
getting the information gathered for a case.
The goal is still to make them, quote, whole, both medically or physically and financially.
That's a super thing to get off into that I want to pick your brain on. We talk about, compensatory and punitive. We hear those things thrown around, but let's talk about that. Like, somebody gets in a wreck and gets that injury. They're calling you. The first part is you got to figure out, how to get them well again, right? That's very nurse side of this.
Well, it's a dual track. I want to help them feel better, and I also want to be their aggressive advocate to help them recover what they deserve from the negligence of someone else. But it's a dual track, and I think that's in our entire firm, we do both. We care about the person, we care about their legal rights, but we really just want to help them feel better as well. So it's a simultaneous track, at least in my opinion.
Well, people will realize the first track. They'll be like, oh my gosh, this hurts, that hurts, I have this injury, I can't see, I have headaches and those kind of things. And so you're working on getting that fixed and how to make them whole as best as they can physically right then. Right. But y'all are looking at things like future lack of future earnings, issues they could be having down the road, things that haven't even manifested themselves yet.
Right. That's exactly right. And effect on family relationships is very important, and it's really hard to put a, quote, number on that, a dollar on that.
But most people don't even think about that.
Yeah.
You know, until you, it's a real thing, but people are like, oh, well.
No, we look at the whole person. It's a very holistic kind of legal assessment, and with me, legal and medical assessment, I don't practice as a nurse anymore. I still have my license, I'm proud to say. I've had it for 40 years, but...
That's a lot of wisdom.
It's a lot of CEUs. Is what it is.
But y'all do that. You know, you're talking about the CEU, but, talking about making yourself better and better, whether it is in the world of being a nurse, but also you were talking about the other day that you just had another seminar on car crashes and what can happen and the information available technology-wise.
Exactly, and that was so fascinating to me. I didn't grow up in the era of computers or cell phones, although I use both now,
yes,
sort of. But the seminar was by a forensic person who showed us how you can track the movement of a cell phone through the tower pinging that cell phone. You can subpoena records to show the location when the pinging stops, so you know the time of the collision with our client typically, and then also the location of that. I have a case, or had a case, where someone said, no, never on the phone, wasn't on the phone, but the phone records showed differently at the time of the impact.
I call that I call that lying, but go ahead. I know you.
I don't call it lying. I call it misrepresentation of the facts.
That's because you're a professional. You're a personal injury lawyer, and I'm a guy who talks on the radio. I call it lying, but okay, I'm following you.
Okay, all right.
So here is your client, somebody who's called you. Mm-hmm. They're injured. They're saying, listen, this person, I looked up and saw them on their phone when they hit me, or whatever it is, and that person, not me.
That's right. Somebody tells you they never use the phone while they're driving, never check a text message, never are distracted at all. That just cannot be.
That's suspect, isn't
it? It is. It just cannot be fact. It cannot be.
You talk about this, the forensics and the technology, but this does have a shelf life of sort, right? The faster somebody calls you at Taylor Martino, this is important. Explain why that's important.
Okay. In the rules of evidence, it's called spoliation, which is if the evidence is destroyed, then it's forever lost. It's spoiled, basically. And with cell phones especially, you can delete messages, phone calls, text messages, Facebook postings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know much else about Snapchat or...
And nor do I. That makes two of us. It's okay. So,
but I know at least with cell phones, you can delete a lot of information. And what I learned at the seminar last week is that the forensic specialist, they can see every message to your phone has they call it a handshake. So if I'm sending you a text message, Sean, my phone first handshakes with your phone, and it leaves a little trail of that. Even if you delete the message, there's evidence that a message
was sent from
my phone to your phone, and I thought that was fascinating.
So even if they get rid of it, you can still say, hey.
The handshake you cannot get rid of the handshake. Most of us didn't even know there was a, quote, handshake between the cell phones, but I thought that was worth.
Oh my gosh!
The seminar.
So when somebody calls you and says, "Listen, I was doing right. That person hit me. They're saying they were not on their phone. I saw them on their phone, Ruth."
Right,
then you get this information. You go find the handshake.
Yes, right, and we can if the tortfeasor, the person who's caused the accident, doesn't voluntarily let us download their cell phone data, then we can get a court order, typically, if it's appropriate, and that's the only reason we would ask the court to issue an order to download the cell phone records around the time of the accident, maybe the day before, the day of.
All right. I want to talk about a couple things here. Number one, remind folks that you are a nurse. You're a personal injury attorney. This is a unique situation. And while we're going to call you because somebody has injured us and we want you to be our advocate in the courts, you also see it through a little bit different lens.
I do. I really care about the person's injuries, both from a medical standpoint to, you know, see what we can do to make them feel better, make their life better. Try to restore as much as we can to their pre-accident, you know, being, and also their legal issues. And, you know, I've told all of my clients, they can call me every week to check in. I don't mind. They can call me every day. I may have to call them back, but I don't mind that. And, you know, nurses are communicators. We talk all the time to people, and it's the same in the legal profession. People are surprised to know that I really think it's practicing law is not that much different than being a nurse, because a lot of the skills are exactly the same. It's communication, it's compassion, it's advocacy. You just apply a different body of the law.
All right. People need to make that call and talk to you. How do they do it?
Taylor Martino, 433-3131, or our website is taylormartino.com.
Ruth Lichtenfeld, thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.
Hey, it's Sean Sullivan. Join Mike Ward and me every Saturday morning at 7 for FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, bringing you inshore, offshore, and freshwater fishing reports from some of the area's best guides, plus hunting talk, conservation news, habitat management, and the latest in state and federal regulations. So join the conversation Saturday mornings at 7. Plus, you can listen after the hunt or fishing trip with our podcast on FMTalk1065.com. It's FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, outdoors for South Alabama, by people that hunt and fish right here in South Alabama.
Talk for both.